Jesus today gives this parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector. Now, Pharisees were very learned about the faith. They studied many years to learn how to love God and how to love their neighbor and to transmit that to other people. So we think it would be kind of obvious, you know, somebody spends years, decades, learning about God and neighbor, that would be something kind of second nature to do that. And yet the tragic thing is, it's not the case. The Pharisee is in the temple. He's beautifully adorned in robes. He's in the spotlight, and just everybody looks at him in the sanctuary. And he gives this prayer. He's speaking to himself. He says, "Oh God." That's a wonderful way to bring to start a prayer. We want to always begin our prayers with God. God is first in the first commandment, in the Our Father prayer, in the Nicene Creed. God is first, so we always want to praise Him first. So it seems like he's on the right track, beginning with God. And then he just rears right off the course. He basically says, "I thank you for not being like the rest of humanity." He has this really profound ego, this profound pride. St. Augustine, one of the church fathers, says that pride is the root of all sin. Making oneself out to be a god, thinking that the person has all the right answers. It doesn't have to really seek God's advice, but just it's all about them. And then he says how everyone else is being greedy and dishonest and adulterous, and he's pinpointing on a tax collector. He is right that the tax collector is greedy, or was greedy in the past. He did very bad things. But the terrible thing is how judgmental he is. That based on the sins of this man, he's thinking that this person's going to hell, that God hates them. And he doesn't really know what's going on in this man's heart. That in reality, he's actually being reconciled to God. And then the Pharisee kind of puffs himself up. He's saying all the good things he does, and he fasts twice a week, he pays his tithes, that he's doing all these great things. And so the tragic thing is how he begins with God, but it's really all about him. He pays lip service to God, but doesn't actually serve God. I think that could be a big tragedy that we can look out for in our own lives when we're praying to God. How sincere is it? Is it really about the glory of God? Is that the intention behind our prayers? Is that the intention behind all the good things we try to do for others? Is the motive to love God? As St. Ignatius Loyola would often say, for the greater glory of God. To do each and everything for God's glory, because God wants it, and for love of God. And yes, there could be rewards that we can experience, whether that's, you know, peace or eternal life, or being in a good relationship with our neighbors. There could be good repercussions from that. But that's not the main motive. It's about God. And so he has this kind of outward appearance of holiness in the way he dresses, the way he folds his hands, you know, the way he talks. But again, it's about his glory, his pride. So I think to really try to be aware of that, you know, in our own prayers, you know, God forbid if we may do something like that. And then he kind of puffs himself up doing all these nice things. And he says how he pays his tithes. That's great. But the way he pays his tithes is through these herbs that he grows. For those of us who garden, and have herbs in our garden. You know, year in and year out, herbs really grow easily. They don't need a lot of maintenance. You know, maybe take out some of the leaves on the side, and they pretty much grow without much attention. So this Pharisee goes to his garden, he rips the herbs out, and he sells them, giving very little kind of initiative. He's taking a very minimalistic approach in paying his tithes. But he thinks in his head that he's doing enough for God. And that's another thing to be aware of. Are we trying to puff ourselves up in our minds, thinking that we're doing enough for God? Or really, are we trying to be minimalistic, just do the bare minimum? Or we think we just do enough, and then once we do, we reach that goal of doing something for God, we don't do anything else for God. We kind of stop, you know, stop being Catholic, or stop loving God, or stop loving our neighbor. And that's another thing to try to be aware of. And then lastly, just his judgmentalism. Looking at the tax collector and judging him as evil, as sinful, as a bad person. And yes, he committed bad sins. As a tax collector, they were infamous in the Roman Empire. They often would go to people's homes, not only get the amount that the Roman government wanted for taxes, but they requested more. And the extra they got, they put into their pockets. And they didn't care if people suffered because of their greed, if people went hungry. You know, we look at the first reading, sadly, about the widows, the orphans, and the oppressed. The tax collectors were so greedy, they didn't care about the orphans, the widows, the oppressed. How their greed, you know, led them to profound suffering and poverty. And so it says in the first reading, the Lord is a God of justice. He judges justly and affirms the right. And the beautiful thing about the tax collector, he sees his sins. The Pharisees write about his sins, but the tax collector, instead of being prideful, is the opposite. He's humble. He's aware of his sins. He's not the Pharisee who's in the middle, being kind of like in the middle of attention so everybody can see him. No. He's off in the back of the temple. He's not out there to get attention. He's not out there to please other people. It's just him and God. And he has his eyes downwards. When Jesus often prays, he prays upwards to God the Father. And yet the tax collector recognizes his sins and basically acknowledges he doesn't deserve to look at God. And so he's looking downwards, maybe thinking about the consequences of his sins leading him towards hell. And God judges rightly. And this tax collector beats his breast. We did that symbolically earlier today in the I confess prayer, beginning of Mass. I confess, you know, through my most grievous faults. That prayer comes from today's tax collector, acknowledging that God's punishments are just, that he does defend the widow, the orphan, and the oppressed, and that he deserves God's punishment. It's so humbling that he recognizes that. And God sees that humility, and God forgives him. And that's so beautiful. The tax collector recognizing his sins, not looking at other people's sins, but his own sins. And not because of trying to puff his own ego, how good he is to glorify himself. No, he looks at his own sins for the glory of God. Just to be honest and how he offended God, how he hurt his neighbor. He acknowledges his unworthiness, and by doing so, he becomes worthy. We're going to pray soon, right before we receive communion. I am not worthy, Lord, that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. When we, like the tax collector, acknowledge any grave sins that we commit, if any, we have to look for them if they don't exist. But when we acknowledge them, we acknowledge our unworthiness, not out of love for self, but out of love for God and neighbor. What does God do? He heals us. He exalts us. We're no longer estranged from God, but he treats us with great love and mercy. He forgives those sins. He wipes them away, and then we're reconciled to the Lord.